Gaz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. This Saturday, the 31st of March, Anno Domini 2012, and you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 3 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, stuff to choose, nothing to lose, kick off your shoes, don't get the blues.
And here we go.
Let's start, well, first, as you know, we are in the middle of a pledge drive. And last week, you folks did a great thing for us, and we really appreciate it.
Wait a minute. I got to say something. Interrupt you just for a second. Because the polka guys are still here.
Yeah.
We beat their butt.
We did. We beat them last week. I want to thank all those of you who helped us to do that. It was great. They're whining now. I also put out a challenge 2 weeks in a row for the podcast people to bring in $1,000. The first week they brought in zero. This week we want to thank Michael from Victor for his pledge, which was very nice of him. It wasn't exactly $1,000, but it was very generous, and we thank you very much. Your pledge, Michael. We're very appreciative of that.
And we got our goal for this week.
Oh, do we? All right. Mm-hmm. So you can help us meet that goal. And we joke about the polka guys and beating them and yada, yada, yada. But the reality is this. This station needs your help. We don't get federal money. We don't get state money. We don't get local money. We don't get county money. We don't get any money from anybody but you. When we say member supported, we ain't kidding. And so we need your help. You saw what trouble we had last week, and with the transmitter going out, those are unexpected little things that we need to take care of, and we can only do that with your help. And it's real easy to help. We just need you to give us a call. The numbers are 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free at 1-800-790-0415. Or, of course, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Now, listen, all you podcast people, this is your chance to step up to the plate. That $1,000 challenge is still out there. So far, it's only Michael from Victor. Who's stepped up to the plate and said that he stepped up to the plate. Those of you who also may have stepped up did not say you did, so it doesn't count toward our pledge, although it does certainly count toward helping the station. So if you are a podcast listener, please definitely join the family. Go to the web, jazz901.org, pledge, and put in the comment section that it's for sound bites, it's for the podcast challenge.
And the other thing, though, we were discussing before, this is our third year doing this stuff. And 3 years in a row, we've only asked for $50,000. And I like to point out, everybody sit back and think, their RG&E bills, have they stayed that low? No, every time you turn around, they're doing a rate increase at least once a year. In the past 3 years, they have done a rate increase. But yet, you know what? We're still holding at $50,000. So we're doing a darn good job of keeping costs down, but yet still bringing you quality programs. Like you just heard, the polka guys, and after us is the German show. And, I mean, there's just a host of other programs that are offered here 24/7. And there are only 7 radio stations left that play jazz. And a station that you can literally call up, like on my Thursday night show, people call in and request songs. We love to have them, you know, call in, suggest this or that, and you're talking to a live DJ, not some computerized thing. No, live DJs that are here donating their time, just like Nick, Steve, and I do here every Saturday, coming to you, answering your computer questions. Now, and Nick and I and Steve have talked this before. If you had to take the somewhere else, you know, you had to take your computer in to get it fixed, it's going to cost you quite a bit. But the number of folks that we've been able to alleviate that problem for them and save them the money. Well, you know what? All that money that you've saved, why don't you even just give a fraction of it and pick up the phone and give us a call at where, Nick?
The numbers are 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. Or you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. And when you do, you not only become a member of the Soundbites family, but you also have the chance for some pretty nifty stuff. Everybody gets a membership, a member card, which is good at for discounts at lots and lots of places. But each membership level, now remember, you don't have to pledge at a level. If you just have $10 or $5 or $30,
there is no wrong amount.
$18,000, whatever amount you have, we'll take it. But if $35 and above gives you the Jazz 90.1 member card, if you join at the $50 level, you get the white Soundbite short sleeve T-shirt. And every other membership has its own set of gifts as well. So if you've got it in your wallet, please find it in your heart to make that call, make the pledge, and become a member of the family. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free at 1-800-790-0415. Or you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org.
Yeah, and if they pledge $1,000, we'll send Rob over to do some work around the house, spring cleaning.
A little spring cleaning or perhaps some
lawn. Cut the lawn, you know, trim the
trees. For $1,000, we'll send Rob anywhere.
Yep.
All right, on to the news. The House of Representatives has rejected an effort to give the Federal Communications Commission the power to stop employers from asking job candidates for their password to Facebook and other social networking sites. Now, understand that this was an amendment to make... No. This is bad.
Yeah, the amendment... This was a tricky thing to figure out. They lost the right to stop doing it.
Right. So what happens is employers have the right, have the ability, whether they have the right, I guess, to ask you for your Facebook password or Twitter password or whatever. There was a bill. Yeah,
not just your account name, your password.
Your actual password, so that they can go look at what you're saying privately. There was a bill to make that illegal, and that bill was defeated.
Oh, I read it. Yeah.
In
that case.
In that case, it's completely backwards. Exactly. Exactly.
Sorry, I was a little quick on the buttons.
Yep. The effort was an amendment proposed by Representative Ed Perlmutter of Colorado, which was added to legislation to reform the FCC. What this amendment does is it says you cannot demand as a condition of employment that somebody reveal a confidential password to their Facebook, Flickr, Twitter, whatever their account may be. The amendment would have added the following. Well, I don't have to read the paragraph to you, but I've already explained it. The amendment was deemed unnecessary by the Republicans and was voted down 236 to 184. Only one House Republican voted in support of the amendment, and only two House Democrats voted against the amendment. Republicans argue that while the proposed legislature wouldn't help the situation, they were willing to work on new legislation in the future. While this might sound like the Republicans hate privacy, it's not necessarily the case. The actual proposal that was being debated was the FCC Process Reform Act, which was Republican-backed and Democrat-opposed. The FCC Process Reform Act wants to require the FCC to be more transparent, and Democrats believe it's unacceptable to require the currently Democrat-controlled agency to do this. As CNET pointed out, Perlmutter's amendment was merely a transparent, if clever, delaying tactic. After all, if Perlmutter actually wanted to add that pro-advocacy section to the bill, he could have suggested an amendment instead of returning to the committee. Perlmutter may not care nearly as much about our privacy as we think he does. In 2008, he voted for anti-privacy legislation. The FCC Process Reform Act did pass by a vote of 247 to 174. So our question to you at soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is should an employer be able to force you to give them your Social Security passwords? The choices are yes.
Social Security.
Social network passwords. There is no password to Social Security. What are you thinking?
That's what you said.
Let me repeat that. Should an employer be able to force you to give them your social network passwords? The choices are yes, no, and I'm retired, bugger off. So far, man, I'm really ready today, aren't I, for this whole thing. So far, we've got, let's call it 46 votes. Most of you, oddly, say no. Some of you say I'm retired, bugger off, and two of you seem to think that it's okay. But when you're done with that, I know you're going to have a lot more to say. So if you look at the yellow box underneath the poll and click on Give Us Your Opinion, it will take you to my website, asknick.com.
That's asknick.com.
And the question there is, how do you feel about being forced to give up your social network passwords? And please, keep it clean. And, of course, that's our question to you. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll free at 1-800-790-0415. Oddly, those are also the numbers you can call to become a member of the Soundbites family. And you can also pledge securely online at jazz901.org. My employer has never asked me that question.
Mine neither.
We had talked about in the past that it's so easy to in essence, break into someone's information they think is private that it almost doesn't matter if you give them the password or not.
Yeah.
But and it goes back to what we've said for years. Don't put anything on the internet you wouldn't want someone to see.
Yeah.
That's your Facebook or your Twitter page. That is definitely stepping over the bounds.
Well, yes and no. We had a person at work, and by work I generally mean RIT in general, who got into trouble for tweeting something that he says has nothing to do with his work situation, but some people took it that way. And so, you know, you got to be more careful and a little more circumspect when you're considered to be a professional person to act in a professional manner.
If you say my boss is an idiot, that's inflammatory.
Yes, that would be that would not be it. But
there was actually also a case where a company is suing a woman for posting a bad review on Yelp. Because slander or whatever the other one is. I forget whether print.
Libel or slander. Libel. Print.
Libel.
Well, yeah, spoken and print, but where does electronic fit in?
Both.
Nobody knows. Yeah. So it's getting nasty that there's problems with all sorts of social networks. And
That's
anything
one
anything you put in fact, you know, the point of Facebook and Twitter is you're posting things for people to see.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been a lot of interesting stories in the last election about people with skeletons in their closet and always get pulled out during election season, that it's now pictures on Facebook that are easy to find. You know,
and that's what employers and that can look at. You know, that party that you went to and, oh, maybe they weren't the best situation. It should have been posed up there, you know, professionally on what you were doing. You know, you got to take some accountability for your actions, and doing some of that stuff is not good when it gets
Part of the problem, though, is it's possible to misinterpret a picture.
True.
Certainly.
Oh, yes. There's always two sides of the coin.
Yeah, there was that woman, I remember, was it Brigham Young University? There was a picture of her holding one of those plastic red drink cups, and they expelled her from school because obviously she was drinking beer.
Right.
No, I wasn't. Can you tell?
Guilty until proven innocent.
Yeah.
Right. And also, you know, I've said this to my daughter. I said this to my godson many times. You know, the real problem that you guys have is when I was your age, I did a lot of things that the statute of limitations has not run out on, and that's true.
Don't want to think
about
that.
But nobody had cell phones with cameras in them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody recorded that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We had Mark with his camera, and there are some pictures he better not ever show. I will hunt him down. Like the dog he is.
Hopefully you have equally embarrassing pictures of him.
He'll show those.
Yeah. See, that's the problem. You have to be embarrassed by your pictures.
Exactly.
He doesn't care, evidently. No shame there.
Exactly. But yeah, so there's a that's really an interesting problem. You know, you, it's not you taking the pictures. It's somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you get
flagged.
And they're all doing that now. Flag your friends. Google has the face recognition stuff that they're doing.
That's a big question we get all the time. How do I stop my name from showing up on tagged photos on Facebook?
You don't.
And the short answer is you don't. You cannot stop someone from tagging you.
Right.
You have to ask them to not do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mark Zuckerberg has stated that privacy is dead, and he's proving it with Facebook.
Yeah.
That's simple enough. Just you don't
get
privacy.
And again, just be discreet in what you put out there.
And you don't even have to be on Facebook. You know, if somebody else takes a picture and tags you, it doesn't link back to your Facebook profile because you don't have one.
Right.
But your name is out there.
Your name and face are out there.
That's right.
And that you can't take back because once it's out there, it just spreads all over.
That's exactly right. So you got to be careful. You got to be aware. And you got to, you know, practice safe living, I guess, so because that stuff will
get
out.
Well, you just got to be a little more conscious and, you know.
Well, and name me, show me the 17, 18, 19-year-old kid, male or female, who didn't do at least one stupid thing in their lives.
Forget it.
Exactly. So, you know, I don't know. The stuff you did at 19 really shouldn't, there should be a statute of limitations on that,
mm-hmm.
you know. Yes, you were stupid at 19, I get that, but you're 35 now, so it doesn't count anymore. But who knows? Who knows? And listen, give us a call. You can become a member, or you can just give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, or toll-free at 1-800-790-0415. You podcasters, pledge securely online at jazz901.org. That podcast challenge is still in effect. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 19 minutes after the hour. You're listening to Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Soundbites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And we're going to read the news and then go to the phones. When the Harry Potter books finally went on sale in electronic form on Tuesday, it was as if Harry himself had cast the Alohomora spell on them, the one that unlocks doors. Yes, I read all these books to my daughter. And for myself. In a break with industry practices, the books aren't locked down by encryption, which means customers can move them between devices and read them anywhere they like. If Pottermore, Pottermore.com, J.K. Rowling's new web store, proves a success, it could provide a model for other authors and publishers and undermine the clout of Amazon, which dominates ebook sales. I think it's a very large crack in a dam that's going to collapse in the next 9 to 12 months, said Matteo Berlucci, the CEO of an independent British-based online bookstore, Anobii. Ebooks from major publishers are sold in encrypted form today. The text of a book is scrambled so that only authorized devices and software can read it. For instance, a book bought from Amazon can be read only on the company's Kindle e-readers and on its Kindle applications for smartphones, tablets, and PCs. It can't be read on Barnes & Noble's Nook e-readers. Conversely, a book for the Nook can't be read on a Kindle. A book purchased from Apple can only be read on iPhones, iPod Touches, and iPads. Publishers insist on encryption in the form of digital rights management or digital restriction management, or DRM, because they believe it stops piracy. It also helps ebook retailers like Amazon defend their business models, keeping non-Amazon books off Kindle e-readers. But when Rowling fans buy a book from Pottermore, they can download it in a variety of formats, including one that is not protected by DRM. They can be read by a wide variety of applications and devices. These books can be purchased once, then passed around to friends or shared with children. Wider sharing is dissuaded by visible and invisible watermarks inserted by Pottermore before the download, which identify the buyer. Charles Redmayne, CEO of Pottermore, says Harry Potter books are probably the most pirated in the world already, even though, or rather because, there have been no legal electronic versions until now. Fans have scanned or even retyped the printed books to make them available in electronic format. We believe that people should have the right, once they've bought the book, to read it on any device they choose to, says Redmayne. So our question to you, would you prefer books, ebooks with or without DRM? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll free at 1-800-790-0415. Just like Ed did from Ithaca, New York. Welcome, Ed. Are you a member?
I am a member.
That's what I like to hear.
Yes. However, when I went to donate online, there was not a clear way to say that I was doing it for soundbites. I had to type that in under other comments.
Yeah, that's where it has to go. It's under other comments.
You did good.
Okay. Now, I have a question. Is there a way of putting a MP3 download onto a CD?
Yes, there is. There are some burning programs, CD burners, burning programs.
Nero.
For example, Nero and several others that will let you, when you say, I want to put these things on a CD, you drag the MP3 over, and if you said you wanted to make a standard audio CD, it then figures out that you really want to translate it to another format, AAC, and it does that for you and tells you how much space it's going to take up on a standard CD as a standard song.
Okay. So I need Nero then to do that.
Well, there are several like it. Check whichever ones you have now. Most of them, really, it's fairly transparent. You say you want to create an audio CD. You drag MP3s to it, and it does it all for you.
Okay. Will Audacity do that?
No, Audacity, oh, okay. I think, does not. It might, but I don't think it does.
Okay, well, I will get Nero or something then.
Well, that should have come with whatever. Usually any DVD that you buy comes with software.
CD so, burner, he means a burner.
Yeah, burner software should come with the drive. I mean, it's just standard.
It's a Windows 7 computer that I bought 6 or 8 months ago.
All right, so yeah, it should already have, you're going to have to go down through the menu and look, but there should be a list of software that's already installed there. Look for Nero and see if it's on there.
They may just have because I've seen this with some of the machines. Windows has very basic burning software built into it, as does the Mac, and some drives are saying that's enough and not including any more authoring software. So you stick a blank disk in, and it shows up on your desktop, and you drag files to it, and then there's a write or burn command. So you have very little control over how it's written or what you're actually creating, but that's built into the operating system itself. And to get more capabilities is either something like Nero or Roxio.
What's the second one?
Roxio. It's Toast on the Mac. What is it on Easy?
It's R-O-X-I-O, Roxio.
All right. Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks.
Do you have time for another question?
Very quickly.
Is there a way in Yahoo Mail to put a folder inside another folder?
Wow. Steve, you're the only Yahoo guy here.
Let me log into my Yahoo account and see. My first guess is no.
I couldn't figure it out.
What's my password?
I don't know. Yeah, it's sad, but many of the online ones have very limited ability to do the kinds of things that you're looking to do.
Uh-huh.
I was very impressed, actually, that Gmail does. Because when they first came out, they essentially said, "Look, we're a search engine. Search your mail."
Uh-huh.
But then they gave people the ability to do that.
They basically say, "Just leave everything in the inbox. It doesn't matter."
Yeah, and they're right. Actually, you can do that. I have a friend who's got thousands of messages in his inbox, but he can still find stuff by searching.
Yeah, it doesn't look like you can put a folder in a folder. I've tried dragging it. I've tried. The add folder button doesn't give you an option of where to put it.
Yeah.
So it doesn't look like it.
Okay. Well,
sorry.
More folders. Thanks so much for your help, and thanks so much for being there for all of us.
Thank you, Ed, and thank you for becoming a member.
You're
Appreciate
welcome.
It. All right. To go back to Pottermore for a minute, I have to say I applaud J.K. Rowling, who doesn't really need the money, but I applaud J.K. Rowling and all the folks at Pottermore for what they're doing, because offering such an incredibly popular book for such a low price.
It's $8 for the e-book, $30 for the audio version. And if you want the entire package,
it's $55.
$57 for the audio, $250 for the $250 for the audio, and $57 for the e-book. It looks like each book is slightly different price. They're all $7.99.
Yeah, three are $7.99. The rest of them are $9.99
because they're bigger.
They're
right?
bigger books.
Yeah.
So okay. So you know, could she have sold them for $1? Sure. Could she have sold them for $35? Sure. So she picked $7.99 and $9.99. The big thing here is that they are without DRM, and I think that's huge. And I applaud the folks at Pottermore and Ms. Rowling herself for doing this. I think it's a great, great thing that she's done. I think it's terrific. And I applaud it. And I personally am going to buy all of the books. Do I need to buy yet one more copy of the books? No. But I do feel that it's important to support people who are doing non-DRM stuff. There's a comedian, Louis C.K., who put out an entire stand-up concert that he did. He charged $5 for it on his website with no DRM. I bought it. I haven't even looked at it. This was months ago. I haven't even bothered to look at it yet. But I bought it because I'm supporting people who do non-DRM stuff. And so I'll be buying all the Pottermore books, because I read my ebook 99% of the time, and it would be nice to have the Harry Potter books there, but equally because I simply believe that one should support non-DRM stuff, just like I believe that one should support this radio station.
No lie. We're in the middle of what?
I believe that. We are in the middle of a pledge drive, and what a pledge drive is where you send us money. It's pretty simple. And that money is meant to keep the station alive. As I said before, we don't get money from anybody else. There's no government funds for us. Not federal, state, local, nothing. No city, no county, no school funds. The money that we get comes from you. We are truly, when we say member supported, we ain't kidding. And and you saw some of the problems that can happen when we still have old equipment. Stuff broke down last week, and we had to replace that. That costs money.
That comes out of pocket. There's no slush fund that, you know, we can't go to the state government or, you know, school board and say, hey, we need this and that. Good luck.
Yeah, exactly. We do it on our own. And so we want to thank Gary, who made a very generous pledge. Thank you. He joins Michael as our only two pledgers so far, but it's really easy to pledge. The number is 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free at 1-800-790-0415. And you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. And in the comments, say that it's for sound bites. And we do need your help. You know, we joke about the polka guys, and we'd love to beat them 2 weeks in a row.
Oh, that'd be sweet.
That would be great. We can do that with your help, but more importantly is becoming a member of this family.
We have a $500 goal that we got to beat. We got to beat $500.
We can do that. We can do that with your help, and all you have to do is call 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free at 1-800-790-0415, or pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Now, some of you out there right now are saying to yourselves, oh my God, they're still begging on the air.
Mm-hmm.
You're the ones who haven't called in yet.
So, we're over halfway through our overall goal.
Yeah, 18.5 is what we still need to raise. And the sooner that folks call in and pledge, the sooner we can get off this topic. But you know what? Nick, Steve, and I are here every week. You know, the hunk of time, I'd say a good 4 hours out of our life, right in the middle of a Saturday. Because I know for me, I leave the house at 11 o'clock. I don't get home until around 3. By the time we get out of here and get, there's 4 hours out of our prime Saturday. Every Saturday. You know when it's nice out there and you're down to the beach or you're going out, going to market or going shopping or working out in the yard and that? No, we're here. Yep. We're here every Saturday, faithfully answering your computer questions. And we only come to you twice a year asking for your help. So if we can give up our time, we're just asking you to dip into your pockets and give a little. There is no wrong amount. And, you know, we can even set up payment plans.
Yep.
So we try to make it as easy as we can, but we need you folks to pick up the phones and give us a call at 585-966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415. Or if you really want to get Rob off the couch and get him going, go to jazz901.org. I had somebody go to 901 and I don't know where they were, but I told them to go to 901.org. Didn't want to know.
901.org.
It's sort of like
actually.
Steve. Yeah. When Steve goes to some of these websites, we don't want to know about
Steve
that.
Steve just randomly types in an address, and 99% of the time it's his
he
kind of
hits
website.
Something. Yep. So, yeah, we just need you folks to go to the web and pledge there securely. And it's the other caller just previously said.
Oh,
yes, you got to go
nice.
Down into the other comments.
901.org is also jazz.
Oh, nice.
So one of the problems people run into on the web is misspellings of your own company name.
Yeah.
So it's nice when you register your own misspelling. So you can go to Jazz901 or you can go to Jazz901.
Nice.
So anyways.
Well done. Sorry, go ahead.
No. But, go in there and put in the comments like you heard the other callers say. You had to go down into other comments and put in that it's for sound bites. We'd really appreciate it.
Yep.
Now absolutely. He's done talking.
Yeah. Now who's not talking? Who, me?
No,
oh, yeah,
no,
yeah.
Dave is done talking.
No. Yeah, because I just got in here.
After we interrupted him too many times.
No, I go with the flow.
Right.
I know I step on you guys at times because I get so focused
at
time on the board and making sure like I caught a couple other things that could have gotten my butt in trouble, but I got them straightened out. And I step on you guys, and I don't always mean to, and I think you guys understand because I got so much other stuff going here that I step in, but it goes both ways.
We did get a comment, though.
Yes, there is a comment here. I think that is a separate issue. True, I know if the URI, I think he meant URL, to the photo, it's there forever. But the account is gone reference to it is.
Yeah, true. And somebody else earlier texted us to say that you have a two-week time period where if you delete your account, it's actually just quiescent and you can bring it back within 2 weeks. And so can someone else if they know how. Isn't that interesting? So yes, the pictures never, ever go away.
Mm-mm.
If you know how to get to a picture, you just have to change a couple of the items on the URI, or URL as it's also known, and you're there. You're at a picture. Now, it's a random picture unless you exactly know where you're going. But if you've looked at a picture and bookmarked it, it's there forever. That picture never goes away. You cannot delete them. Even if you say you've deleted them, they don't delete. Remember, Mark Zuckerberg does not believe that you deserve privacy. All right, we're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 39 minutes after the hour. And you are listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. We are Soundbites, and we are right here on your station, your member-supported station, Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve, next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And we have Carl from Greece on the line, who has said he's going to be pledging online very shortly. Hiya, Carl.
Hey guys,
what's your question?
You
yep. What's your question?
Hey, guys. Great show. I always follow you. Normally, I do my pledge at the Jazz Fest, but you guys are killing me. So
good.
We appreciate it, Carl.
I'm going to help that bowl out. I'll throw $200 in there today for you.
Thank you so
Thank
very
you,
much.
Sir.
Not a question, but a concern. I understand the importance of backing up your computer, but I just got this fear of the off-site backup systems out there. Carbonite intrigues me, but I got this fear. Help me overcome this.
Well, it's you have to trust them because they have your data. One of the things to look for is that some of the services, I never can remember which, encrypt your data before it leaves your computer. All of the services always talk about they use 256-bit encryption during transfer. They're using SSL during the transfer. But you want to make sure that your data is encrypted before it leaves your computer because then at the other end, all they have is pseudo-random noise. They can't see into your data because you have the key. So that's the thing to look at, and I'm pretty sure Carbonite does that.
Right, so they encrypt it for me, or do I have to do my due diligence?
You give it a password on your end, and encrypt it. It encrypts it before it leaves your computer. Now, I'm not 100% sure, so you might want to check Carbonite and Voila and Dropbox and some of the other services that do that offsite backup type stuff. You want to make sure that it's encrypted before. The other thing you can do is on your own computer, you can encrypt the data yourself before you let it back up. You can use a free program like TrueCrypt, which will encrypt folders, or you can have it even encrypt your entire hard drive. And then you back up that encrypted data. But if you don't...
Okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so if you're concerned about that type of thing, which is a valid concern, what a lot of people do is they'll have two backup hard drives, for example, and take one to work with you and lock it in your desk drawer. So you have an offsite backup, and it's at your office. So if there's catastrophe at home, you've got your office backup, and if there's a catastrophe at the office, you have your home backup. And some people do that as well.
Yeah, I do that now. The offsite thing... the encrypting process, I'm kind of new to that, but is it a manual thing that I do? Because I keep hearing this automatically saving your, you know, every time you do something, it automatically saves it. So is it a manual function or automatic function?
It can be either, depending on which software you're using and how you run it. Something like TrueCrypt's whole drive encryption encrypts all the data on your entire hard drive all the time. It slows down the computer usually imperceptibly because it has to decrypt it to work on it, and then it encrypts it when you save it back again.
Right.
But you can tell TrueCrypt to just encrypt a single folder, and anytime you save a file in that folder, it encrypts that folder.
Got it. Yeah. The other concern that I had was the link, you know, being off-site. Like you said, trust them. But they would have no access back into my computer, or do they?
No, generally not. It depends on what they are. I will tell you this. The only one that I know publishes its security information is Carbonite. They do SAS 70, as it used to be called, and that means an independent firm actually audits them. It's an independent auditing firm that audits them to see that they're doing that.
It encrypts your data on your computer before it leaves the computer using 128-bit Blowfish.
So when it gets to that other machine, when it gets to Carbonite itself, it's already encrypted, so their employees can't get at your data because they don't know your key.
There have been stories from some storage providers that the government shows up with a warrant and they turn over your data.
Right.
And this cannot happen with Carbonite. Well, they can turn over a pseudo-random noise, but it cannot be decrypted without your password. So, and then that becomes the other half of the question. Use a really good password. It doesn't have to be cryptic so you can't remember it. It should be a long, you know, series, multiple words. A passphrase is better now than a password.
Letters and numbers.
Yeah.
And upper and lowercase and symbols.
Yep.
So if you were to say...
A good combination on the keyboard.
Yeah. It was the best of times, it was the worst of times.
Right,
yeah.
With exclamation points and commas and capitals and
dollar
and
signs,
add a couple
right.
of numbers in there.
Yep.
Yeah.
As long as it's easy for you to remember so you don't write it down somewhere. And one of the things that I've read about is a nice tip, because you have to create passwords for so many different services, and you shouldn't use the same password all the time, because if someone breaks one of them, now they'll try Gmail and they'll try PayPal, they'll try eBay with that same password. Use the service as part of your password. So if you're making a password for Carbonite, you know, do, you know, Happy 34 Monkey Carbonite. And then put a couple of
exclamation point.
Yeah, so it's a long password, and it's got a pattern in it that you remember, plus the service you're using.
Great. Well, yeah, you helped calm down my fear here, guys, a little bit. I'll see you at the Jazz Fest this year.
All right, have fun.
Okay.
I'll be there all week.
And thanks again, Carl.
Yep, thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
There was actually, now I remember it, there was a bug in Dropbox last year where they pushed an update that accidentally unencrypted everybody's data.
Yeah.
If you happen to know someone else's Dropbox username, which is usually their email address, mm-hmm. you could get into anybody's Dropbox. They fixed it in a couple hours. It happened on a Sunday afternoon, which is when most people should do their updates. So, but it was tricky.
Yeah, it's an interesting problem.
Yeah, I just got onto Dropbox. I was looking for something because, you know, going to a tablet, I want to be able to access some data. And it's just, you know, I mean, I've got stuff pretty well, you know, covered. Hang on a second. You know, it's...
It's a question, not a call. Sorry. All right, there we go. Sorry, we were just very confused for a moment. Google is also doing that. They're going to be giving people 5 gigabytes of storage, which is essentially what you get out of Dropbox and everybody else.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, it's just great to be able to, like I said, you know, I've got a few important files like my QuickBooks and Quicken that I've got saved, you know, multiple times on the server. But, you know, God forbid anything happened, you know, at the house and the / business, that I could put it up onto the cloud and it's there also. And I'm just doing a simple batch routine that on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, I got it executing this batch file that copies the stuff automatically from the folders that they are in into my Dropbox folder, which automatically then just gets up onto the cloud.
Yeah, my stuff backs up every night all the new files to one of my servers in the cloud, which backs it up to another server in the cloud. So hopefully, unless the entire cloud goes down, plus my computer's
rainstorm,
I'm in good shape. Yep. Exactly.
Dropbox's interface is just so easy and so nice. Mm-hmm. It's a folder on your computer.
Yeah.
And whatever you throw in there.
And they fix the hole.
Yeah. Yeah, they fixed it within a couple hours, so it's back encrypted again.
Good.
But, yeah, just a folder on your desktop, anything you put there automatically goes up to the cloud. And if you have multiple computers, it automatically synchronizes between all your computers and your mobile devices.
That's the nice part.
And on the web, you can go and look at it, too.
Yep. All right, our next caller is Steve from Greece, New York. Welcome, Steve. What's your question?
Well, I'm sure I have a simple question for you guys. I have a Samsung Galaxy Tab.
Nice.
I'm enjoying it. I understand I can play my movies on it, but I need to convert them to a format. I don't know what format to convert them to, and I don't know what software to use to convert them.
Oh, that's interesting. I thought,
I would guess, we're looking now, but I would guess MPEG-4 is the standard video format that most mobile devices are using. There's actually an interesting problem in video conversion. There are probably hundreds of fake video conversion software programs that maybe fake is too strong a word. There's an open source program called FFmpeg, and that's a program that converts video formats into the MPEG-4 format. And there's Mac versions and Linux versions and Windows versions. And so a bunch of companies will take FFmpeg and rename it and then sell it to you for $30 or $40 or $50. And basically all it is this FFmpeg repackaged.
Well, apparently, according to Samsung, it'll read Adobe Flash, DivX, MPEG-4, WMV, Xvid, H.263, and H.264.
So most formats. What it won't read is MPEG-2 that your video DVDs come in. So that's what you need to convert. On the Mac, there's programs called Ripit and Handbrake that are both very good for converting. I'm not sure about Windows. Legitimate programs for Windows because there's so many fake ones.
Right. I do use Windows. I guess I don't know how to do this. How do I find out? I mean, I need to play my DVD on my computer, convert it to another format. I can easily put it on a flash drive. There's no problem with that.
Right. You're just finding maybe someone in the chat room or on the text will let us know a decent real video program for Windows. Because there's so much. You Google convert video and you'll find hundreds of relatively fake programs. Which is a little frustrating.
Do I need to go to the Samsung chat rooms?
No, it's our chat room. Somebody may be posting it for us. We're also digging around Samsung's website to see if they have a list of any software for conversion.
Well, I think VLC will do it too, won't it?
VLC plays. I don't know if it will convert. So we're drastically
we're Googling. We're trying to figure all this stuff out.
Dave
right
is the
away.
Only one that uses Windows, and he doesn't have a program.
Convert save. No, VLC will convert it. So there's a free program called VLC at videoland.org.
I love that program. It
great
is
program,
great.
And you should be able to open pretty much any file on any device, including disks, and save that file in a different format.
Handbrake
for Mac. Do they have a Windows version? Let's Google Handbrake for Windows.
Yeah.
While you're thinking on that, I have a quick question. I know when I click on a site and it takes me to an ad before I can see the content.
Yeah.
I know they know I went to their site. Do they know when I get angry and click away?
Yes. It depends on how they've written their stuff, but yes, it is certainly doable to know that, yes.
Length of stay, yeah.
Yep.
It's only a matter of a second.
Well, they also can know if you click on a close this ad button. Mm-hmm. If they've set it up right, then they'll know you clicked on close that ad and know how long you were on that ad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm thinking of newspaper sites where you want to click on an article, but they want you to watch a 30-second commercial first.
Yeah.
Yeah, some of them. What they don't know is that I turn off the sound. I got a little button on my keyboard. I hit that, the sound goes off. I go look at something else for 30 seconds, and then I come back.
I just click away. I said, I'm not watching your commercial after I just to see your content.
So. Yeah, exactly right. No, and the more of us who do that, the better off we'll all be, frankly.
And to answer our earlier question, Handbrake comes in Mac, Windows, Ubuntu, and Fedora versions.
There you go.
Okay, so what I use, do you recommend Handbrake or VLC?
Well, Handbrake is specifically designed to do what you're asking it to do, so it's probably an easier program to use.
The problem is the legality of ripping a commercial DVD, even the one that you purchased, is a gray area. A lot of times, especially with more modern movies, you can buy a digital copy. Most of the time, the special edition packs, they'll come with the physical DVD and a second DVD with a computer copy, a digital copy that you put onto your computer, already pre-ripped for you. So that's the way the movie industry wants you to do it. They want you to buy a digital version. But it's relatively easy to rip your own DVDs, but the legality of that is questionable.
Right. Right now, by gray area, what Steve means is that nobody's created law about it yet.
You're
being sued.
Well, the laws are fighting each other, too. Under the DMCA, you're not allowed to decrypt or to break encryption. So, ironically, the DVD player software decrypts the file to play it. But under the law, you are allowed to make a backup copy of the movie you bought, which means you have to decrypt it to make a copy. So the law's fighting itself.
Which doesn't have surprised me in the slightest.
Yeah. All right.
Hey, thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. We are going to take a break. This will be a semi-longer break because you have, in fact, wasted an entire hour of your life. That's an hour you won't get back again. But you have a chance to do it again because you haven't learned. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. Plenty of time to make that call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free at 1-800-790-0415. Or, of course, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Become a member of the Soundbites family. Help keep this show and this station on the air. And we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites. Right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 3 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we have a clarification on the handbrake versus VLC.
Yeah, thanks to Sal from Fairport for calling in. Handbrake requires VLC to decrypt DVDs because the licensing issues and the DVD decryption stuff, VLC can play a DVD, therefore it has the decryption software built in. So Handbrake will rip the DVD to a digital file on your computer, but it needs VLC's libraries to do that. And VLC itself says it's not really suited for file-to-file transcoding. It will play video, and you can save a stream from the internet, but it's not not really suited for converting. So right. Handbrake is one of the better programs for actually converting video from one format to another.
Right. And there are several DVD rippers for you Linux fans that are absolutely free. So that's nice to know. Our next caller is Victor from Irondequoit, New York. Welcome, Victor. What's your question?
Nick, there's something wrong with me, and maybe you can fix it.
No. I'm sorry. We are only a computer show, Vic. Well, we don't do...
This is kind of computer. Now, right. Whenever I've watched movies, I've always watched them on a movie theater with a gigantic screen or on my big screen TV or even on a computer screen, which is, you know, 21, 24 inches. But
right.
Why would someone want to watch a movie on a tablet or an iPhone or an iPad, which is actually 1950s size? I mean, where you're straining
Tell
your
me
eyes,
about
you
it.
Can't see it too good. What is it? What's wrong with me?
No, you're not alone. I'm in that same boat. I mean, if I got a 55-inch screen at home, why am I going to be watching it on a 2x3-inch screen on my cell phone?
Because you don't have it on your back porch under a summer sky, and you don't have it in the back seat of the car to keep the kids happy, and you don't have it in the bathroom when you're busy.
Yeah. Okay. Two out of three.
Ain't bad.
Here's the deal, Victor. I completely agree with you, except yeah. I also completely agree with Steve. When I'm on a trip or whatever, then absolutely I'm gonna rip some movies to watch on the trip. But given a choice, I'll watch them on my big screen TV. Not that my TV is all that big screen, but it's certainly bigger than 10 inches.
But I'm planning on going to the garage this afternoon to get an oil change. I'm taking my iPad with me. And I might watch some video. I'm probably going to be reading because I've been really suckered into the Honor Harrington series.
There you go.
I'm on book three. Book three of 12. There's 11 published and the 12th one coming. I hardly ever read things from living authors anymore.
Right.
So you know the service has stopped.
Whoa.
Although I did hear Jerry Pinnell was on This Week in Tech a couple of weeks ago. He and Niven are working on a new book together.
Wow.
He did say it's going to be their last book from a traditional publisher. Jerry Pinnell, for those of you that don't know, is one of the grandmasters of science fiction.
Larry Niven ain't no slouch.
Yeah, and together they've pretty much owned science fiction in the last 30 years.
Yeah.
He says they make a lot of money self-publishing their own books on Kindle and iPad, and the concept of a book publisher isn't really needed anymore. You can get editors, and you can get publicity. Typically, the book publisher publicized your work, and they had copy editors to make your work better.
Right. The real question is, let's say I'm a brand new author, and I wrote a great science fiction book. How does anybody know? Word of mouth has to get around.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Scott Sigler, in fact, I got to catch up on some of his books. He's a science fiction horror stories. He's got a series of football stories with aliens, and the poor human is the puny human. The linebackers are 12 feet long, have six arms, and literally want to kill you.
Right.
But he started one of the very first serial podcast novels. Probably 5-6 years ago now, basically sort of on the concept of the 30s radio serials. Every
nice.
Week you read another chapter, and he got a real book deal out of it, and now is publishing physical books as well. But he was able to take his huge podcast audience and go to a publisher and say, look, I've got thousands of people reading my stuff for free online. They'll probably buy some books. And he got a real book deal out of it.
One of our people on the Soundbites IRC chat said, Nick F., you go to Comic-Con. I suppose that's where you find a lot of this stuff nowadays.
Yeah.
Sorry, Victor, you were saying.
You make a great argument for reading a book on an iPad or a tablet.
Or a Nook.
or Nook, but right. I'm still going to watch movies on a big screen TV. And
I'm with you there.
No, I catching up on. Yeah. I completely agree. I mean, you'd have to be, frankly, you'd have to be an idiot to watch a movie on a 10-inch screen when right there in front of you is a 52-inch screen. But if you're out and about, if you're taking a train trip or I don't know, you can use these on a plane anymore. I lose track of that. Yeah. You're on a train trip or you're on a car trip and you're not driving, or you're on a bus trip, or you're just somewhere for 5 or 6 hours waiting for something to happen, that's when these things become useful.
That makes sense. That was the one good point you made.
But that's the only place to me that they're useful.
But even tying into a service like Netflix, where you can stream hundreds of movies instantly. I was testing a customer's computer the other day, and I happened to see The Wraith was one of their highlighted movies. And it was a very early Charlie Sheen movie about a phantom race car driver who comes back from the dead to kill all the people that killed him. Really cool cars in it, too. And I haven't seen that in 20 years. So I clicked the watch and watched a little bit of it.
I actually found a couple
because I
more...
had to test their computer video playback.
You're right. I actually found a couple of Terry Pratchett novels that have been turned into a 7-part TV series in
England.
Thank
you, guys.
Thanks, Victor.
Yeah,
I watched those this week, but again, I watched them on my regular larger screen
and
television.
The portable nature of it, you get it. You can get it in a room you don't have a television in. Here in Rochester, Time Warner has an app that lets you watch a lot of live TV streams. Ironically, only in your house, connected to your own Time Warner internet service.
Right,
but you can go into a room where you may not have a television yet.
Right,
and especially as we're coming up on summer now, on the patio with a cool drink in your hand.
You're right. If I wanted to
I used to take my projector out in the backyard and project it on the wall.
I don't doubt you for a minute. I suppose if I wanted to sit out by my pond of a summer evening and have all my blood sucked out by the mosquitoes, I could take a movie out with me. That would be kind of. Except for the mosquitoes, it sounds like a good, pretty good deal. We do have mosquitoes, and that's a problem.
You ready?
I'm born ready. All right. Those of you who have actually become members know that this is one of the most looked forward to pieces of our show. So get your footy jammies on, grab a mug of hot cocoa, sit Indian style in a semicircle around the rocking chair, because if we can slap him awake, it's time for Story Hour with Uncle Dave. Uncle Dave? Uncle Dave!
Oh, yeah.
Wake up.
Yeah, okay. Bitch getting old.
Beats the alternative.
Yeah, that's true. I'm looking down at the flowers instead of up.
That's right.
But you know what? I've seen some disgusting computers come into the shop.
You used to have some pictures on your website.
Yeah, those were fried ones. But this one, I think I could have gotten a 7-course meal off of it. And when they come in and tell me, oh, yeah, it's my baby and I need it back and, I depend on it so much.
And I don't know what's wrong with it.
All right.
How about the Coke and the crumbs and the...
Sam, and this is a double-edged story here. Sam, my office manager, took one look at it and put it back in the bag. I didn't see it because I was on another service call. And I come in. She goes, the client asked you specifically if you would take a look at that one. I went, okay. Sometimes folks come in and request it. All right. Well, I didn't get to it until Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Like I say, I pulled this computer out. It's a black laptop. And there's jelly on the top. And this other stuff sticked all over it. And then I open it up and... there's peanut butter in there. I could see some...
Somebody's got a child, I hope.
And all this other stuff. And the screen, it looked like they dipped their hands in their meal and went beep, 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 beep all over the screen.
It's kids.
It was caked. And I'm sitting there cleaning it all off. Well, if the thing is that darn important with you, don't eat over it. Because a couple of the keys are even sticking. Fluid does not work well with laptops. Yep. Just, as an FYI, you pour liquids, because you're drinking your coffee or whatever, over your laptop, The two of them tend not to get along very well, and nasty things can happen to the laptop. Not your drink, but the laptop. It'll tend to, maybe short out?
Yep.
I mean, just some basic needs. But the other part of the story, Sam, like I said, was thought she was really funny. Got me going, because I open up.
We all have massive amounts of respect for Sam.
Oh, yeah, and she got me good. And I've always had the saying since I got, was in the Marine Corps. We don't get mad, we get even.
Yep.
And I told her I would get even. So happens she was going to the comedy club last night. Called up a friend of mine that was going with her. Said, do me a favor. Tell him that it's Sam's birthday. So right in the middle of it, Sam's all of a sudden hears, oh, and I got a special friend, Dave Enright, wanted me to say happy birthday to Sam. She texts me later on that evening. Son of a, you got me.
Yep.
But, folks, it's still going back to the original part of the story. Don't eat over them because those fluids definitely do not mix well. It might look like those laptops. It's very deceiving. When you see those keyboards, it looks like, they're pretty well waterproof. They're not. Where those keys sit through, come up through, they can get fluid into it, and that seeps down around the electronics. And, it is so small and compact in there. It's not like it's got a ton of space to just flow over and maybe hit something or not. 10-1 odds, when you spill something on it, it's going to hit some other area and short something out on this motherboard in the laptop. So please, keep all liquids away from at least arm's reach away.
Too, because you get a solid in there, and it prevents the key from working correctly. Yeah. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot, but it can, particularly with a laptop, mean hundreds of dollars in repair to get that thing working again.
Oh, yeah. It can also mess up the keyboards, and then you go to get a replacement keyboard, and there you're talking a couple $100.
Right.
Because the keys are all sticking, and, this one isn't working right. Sorry, you messed it up so bad, the only way to do it is go get a replacement keyboard. And sometimes, depending on the models, you might pay a lot more because they are, far and few behind to get.
Right.
One of the worst ones we had once, a college kid brought his computer in and said it doesn't work. And that's usually your first warning.
Yeah.
So we open it up, and it's absolutely disgusting and putrid and smells. And we finally get him to admit that he got drunk one weekend and puked on it.
Excellent.
And then shoved it under his bed for a month and let it fester and then brought it to us.
Well, yeah. We have a person who used to work at RIT. And she would bring her laptop, and it was, whenever there was a problem with it. And it wasn't that she was, it was clean. The problem is she lived on a farm. And something, pollen of some sort, and one of my technicians was just violently allergic to it. I mean, just violently allergic. Ooh. So it would come in, and we would put it in a bag and carefully mark who it was, and he learned very quickly that he doesn't get to work on that one. And that we would work on it when he wasn't in the office. And it's not that it was – I'm not saying that it was dirty or any of that stuff. It's just that wherever she had it, particularly in the spring with open windows and things, the pollen or something would get in there. And holy moly, this poor kid would break out like nobody's business.
The only ones that I really have issue with is, like I said, the heavy smokers. And they have the computer right up there on the desktop. So all that smoke is being sucked in.
Yep.
And you get all the tar.
Yeah, the smoke rises to begin with, and then you've got it right in front of the. Yeah.
And then the other one that I really had an issue with is another one that was down on the floor, and they had male dogs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my computer. Yeah. Mm hmm.
One to, raise their leg.
This is my computer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they established it theirs because now those computers now have on the side, you're thinking, on the side now they open up so better ventilation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cats, male cats, same thing.
Oh, really?
Oh, worse.
Well, the dog had a better aim because he's a little higher and could get it down the...
Now, I have had both male dogs and male cats, and I'll tell you right now, male cats smell worse. Worse. Mm. Holy moly, worse.
Now, I've been in a couple houses where, I mean, I'm talking back maybe, that's got to be 20 years ago, when Judine used to work for me.
Yeah.
And I went to a house down on Beach Ave. And this two guys living together in this house had, I think, 11 cats. Smoked. And never opened up the windows.
Because 12 would be stupid.
Yeah. Well, I sat there.
I should talk. I've only got six.
Well, I sat
about
there.
My wife
I was about to say. Yeah.
I sat there trying to work on the computer, and I constantly had to pull my T-shirt up over my nose because the urine was burning my nose and face.
Yep.
You know, it's like, why don't you try opening a window? It was nice
out. Get used to it.
I got a box of gloves from the doctor's office where my wife used to work, and we got some masks so we can do that sort of work. But it's disgusting, it's virtually unrepairable.
Yeah,
it's
going to
cost you so much to clean it and find out what's wrong. And throw it away and buy a new one and take better care of the new one.
Well, they don't. That's the whole trouble. They get into this mode, and it is what it is.
It is what it is. All right, kiddies. We're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 20 minutes after the hour. Don't forget, become a member of the Soundbites family. We are in the middle of a pledge drive. We're probably a little shy of the $1,000, so if you'd like to give us a call, we'd love to hear that. We'll be back with a whole lot more Soundbites right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Got a computer question? Call the boys now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll free 800-790-0415. Online at soundbites.org. Soundbites continues next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 25 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And don't forget, we are in the middle of a challenge. That's right. Not a challenge. A pledge drive. I don't know what we're doing, but you can help us.
Raising money.
You can help us raise money by making a call. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. And the challenge is we've got the podcast challenge going. We want to raise $1,000 from our podcast listeners. So far, you've been kind of, well, miserable at it.
Yeah.
But you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. And it's real simple. It only takes a couple of minutes. We've got levels of membership from $35 to $1,000. And that's great. But we're just as happy to have you pledge at whatever level makes you comfortable, whatever level you feel you can afford. And there's nobody within the sound of my voice who can't afford something. I don't care who or what you are. There's nobody within the sound of my voice who can't afford something.
Yeah, I mean, and we'll even help with payments. I mean, we try to make it as easy as we can. I mean, you get some really cool gifts, a tax deduction, and the member's supported card, which, you know, gets you discounts, further discounts, I should say, and you become a member of the family. You're supporting one of, I think, seven actual jazz stations that are here live that, you know, bring you music 24/7. And throwing into the mix, which we got to give Rob his due. I mean, I don't like to get his head too big. You know, because that can happen.
He doesn't need our help.
Right. But he was kind enough to turn around and ask us at appropriate time there to, hey, do you want to come over on Jazz 90.1? He took a risk. I mean, this is a computer talk show, folks. If you look at the whole format of Jazz 90.1, we're the only talk show. A talk show on a jazz station. He took a
A computer talk show on a jazz station.
Yes, and he took a very bold move and said, you know what? I think this is going to be just right. And you know what? In the past 3 years, you folks have showed him that. Because you know what? We've always said, yeah, our listeners are fantastic. They always step up to the plate. Well, you know what? Right now we're $18,500 short. And we got a goal right now. We'd want to beat $500 to beat the poker guys. But you know what? We need you folks to pick up the phones and give us a call, because it's not going to happen unless you do your part.
Boldness like Rob should be rewarded, and you can help reward it by making that call. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. Or, of course, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. It only takes a couple of minutes. While you're doing that, we'll talk to Ed from No, apparently we won't talk to Ed from Henrietta. We do have somebody else waiting on the line, I think, though. So
yeah, sorry, Ed, give us a call back. We also had an off-air call from Jim, who said he had heard about a program to delete photos from Facebook, and Facebook sued them out of existence. And if that's true, they did a pretty good job of it, because I haven't been able to find anything on Google about it.
All right, our next caller then I think will be Steve from Greece, New York. Steve, are you there?
I am here, and you just talked to me a little bit about Handbrake and things like that.
Yeah?
And I downloaded it. I'm running Ultimate 64, so I got the proper program. But when I launch it, I get an unknown error has occurred. System, null reference exception. Object reference not set to an instance of an object. And then it says at handbrake.fm main. It's a string.
Did you download VLC as well?
No.
Yeah, you have to.
And then reboot your machine.
Handbrake should run by itself. It's just VLC lets it decrypt DVD videos.
And you want to reboot the machine too.
I'm seeing that null reference exception being a common error in the last few weeks. Maybe there's a new version coming?
Well, it's very possible that the problem is a 32-bit program on a 64-bit system.
Yeah, the 64-bit drivers
are.
Yeah, 64-bit drivers, there's not...
Well, they have a 30 or a 64-bit version for Windows.
Did you download the 64-bit version?
I did download the 64.
Okay.
XP Vista and 7, so it should work.
Yeah, 7, but is it 7 32-bit or 64?
Both.
64.
Okay. Just double-checking.
Yep.
Because like we said, even though you know they got the 64-bit out there, like Nick was saying, they can have it, but it doesn't always play well with other programs. See, that's the whole thing. Other programs can look for certain files, but if other programs have adjusted those files in a DLL library, it can cause issues. And sometimes the program has to go back and correct it to give it a little more broader range that you can accept this DLL in the library versus this one, depending on whether it's been updated or not.
Okay, here's a question, though. Sometimes downloads can get corrupted. So first, did you download it directly from the Handbrake website?
Yes.
Okay. Let me suggest you try this first, which is to uninstall Handbrake and delete the file you downloaded.
All right.
Reboot, download it again, just in case there was a glitch in the file.
I can do that.
But that's just the first place to start, I think.
One thing I would suggest before you go uninstalling it, get Revo Uninstaller.
I've got that. That's
use that to uninstall it.
Yeah, but I'll take it all the way to extreme. And
yeah. It gets rid of it good.
Yep. All right, gentlemen, thank you very much.
But but before you go, I should tell you that we have been hearing, seeing on the web, a number of people who are having very much the same problem. Did this happen when you first started it up, or when you were specifically trying to decrypt something?
No, when I first started it.
Yeah, yeah. Several people have said that, and I'm not entirely certain what to say about that at this point. That's something we've just been finding since you mentioned it, and I apologize for that.
Okay.
I don't know what else to say about it.
I did send you guys an email, or we'll see. When is the Ask Nick forum coming back?
Very soon. My hope is very soon. I am resolving the few problems that are left. And I think what I'm going to do is restart the whole thing as a different piece of software. And that should also solve some problems I've been having as well. But thank you. Yes, it will be coming back soon. My hope is to get it done within a month at the most.
I was about to ask you to define soon.
Yeah, hopefully within a month. That's my hope. It's been a long, slow thing. But it should be done shortly, and we should be back.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a...
Well, it takes time, and I mean, you got, other things going on in your life.
Now it's the,
like,
yeah,
maybe
it's
a family?
That. Yeah, well, yeah, that. yeah, a lot of people
Slacker.
Seem to be having this problem with 64-bit Windows, and nobody seems to have a solution, and that's interesting. So my suggestion is make sure you're not downloading the file incorrectly.
Mm-hmm.
It takes another minute to download it again and
yeah,
install
exactly.
It.
Yeah, exactly. And like I say, if you're going to uninstall anything, we highly recommend using the Revo Uninstaller. Revo Uninstaller is a great program. It completely removes the program even out of the registry. See, that's the biggest issue with Windows Uninstaller. It still leaves that junk laying around in the registry. So if you install and uninstall, say, a program 5-6 times, there's 5 or 6 incidences of that program being installed in your computer. Granted, only one is active. The rest are one bit's turned off. And it just makes that file that much longer. By using Revo Uninstaller, it takes all those references and entries in the registry out, keeping it smaller so your machine runs, believe it or not, more efficiently because it doesn't have to go down that whole list of looking for stuff.
Yep, that's exactly right. Is that a hang-up or a...
Hang-up.
Okay. So, yeah, and don't forget, we are in the middle of a pledge drive. Give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. You can also call us toll-free at 1-800-790-0415. Or you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. And don't forget, we have a podcast challenge in effect right now. And Mike... his generous donation is he is a podcast listener, and thank you so much, Mike, for joining us as a member of the station, and particularly as part of the podcast challenge.
Challenge.
So thank you very much. We're very pleased, Mike. Your generous donation. Goes definitely toward the podcast challenge. So we're significantly closer than we were.
We're, in fact,
5 times closer than we were.
We need a few more. Yeah, to get to our goal. But, you know, it just takes you
folks. The
podcast
challenge.
Yep.
Sorry.
Oh, no, I'm saying, no, we just want to get closer to beating the polka guys and be nice to. We did it last week.
Yep.
And we can do it again this week.
Yep.
But we need those folks to pick up the phones and give us a call.
You need to give us a call. It's real easy to do. All we're asking you to do is to become a member of the Soundbites family. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free at 1-800-790-0415. Or, of course, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. It takes less than 2 minutes. There's levels of membership with prizes at each level. They're not called prizes. What are they called?
Gifts.
At each level. Our membership levels start at $35, but you don't have to pledge at a level.
No.
If you've got $20, $10, $5, $50, $18,500, we will take it. All you have to do is make that call or pledge online at jazz901.org, and we will see to it that that your pledge counts, and you'll become a member of the Jazz 90.1 and Soundbites families.
And just right now, just all the programs that we have recommended just in this past hour and a half to various folks, and what, you know, if they didn't know about these, you know, they'd probably be buying paid versions.
Yep.
Which would be, and most software packages, let's face it, they start around $50 or more and go up.
A year.
And you can get into some that are, you know, a lot more. You get into some, and we found other alternatives. Well, just one to say, we've recommended OpenOffice. Now, if you were to go to buy, say, Microsoft Office, there's $500 or more, depending on what version you get.
Yep. And that's a full Microsoft Office compatible product.
Yeah.
It's a word processor, a spreadsheet. It's a presentation program like PowerPoint. It's a database like Access, and it works on every platform. It'll read and write programs for Microsoft or in Microsoft Office compatible formats. I use it at work all the time. Nobody knows, except that I don't have the right font sometimes. But in general, it's because I'm on Linux, not because I'm using OpenOffice.
Right.
And so you'll find that right there we've saved you hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars. And if that's the sort of thing you are appreciative about, please give us a call. The number is 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll free at 1-800-790-0415. And, of course, those of you listening on the podcast and going for the podcast challenge, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. It's simple. It's fast. It's convenient. It makes you a member of the Soundbites family, and it keeps this show and this station on the air.
So before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules.
Understand.
One, more turn your radio down. Two.
All righty. I don't know what that was.
Yeah, I didn't.
Dave has fallen asleep on the console again, head banged on the console as he fell asleep, and he
there
started half a dozen different things at once. It's okay, Dave. We know. He's out carousing all night, and we know how that happens with somebody. Listen, we're going to take a break while we try to wake up Dave. This isn't even Uncle Dave. This is just Dave. We're going to slap him awake, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave and Steve and me and you. It's 40 minutes after the hour. We're Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. One, turn your radio down. Two, turn your radio down lower. Three, remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. Four, make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. Five, calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. Six, if you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And seven, is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Computer Talk.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Listen, while we're waiting for Carl to make that pledge he promised us he'd make online, we have other people who have pledged, and we want to thank Christopher and Volania and Steve and Dennis for their very generous pledges. We cannot thank you enough. Welcome to the Soundbites family. Welcome to the Jazz 90.1 family. We're honored and delighted to have you as members of this family. Carl, we're still waiting for you.
Carl said he was driving and have to wait till they got home.
Oh, that's all right then. So, yeah, I understand that.
Don't pledge and drive.
Don't pledge and drive. Absolutely right. That is I did not realize Carl was driving. Thank you anyway, Carl. I did not realize that. That's my fault. So thank you. But he pledged. He called and drove. That's not right either.
Well, it could be hands-free.
I'm not sure that works any better. I just leave my phone on my belt when I'm driving. I don't even answer.
See, I got a hands-free unit right on my visor.
Yeah, the very first person I ever saw with a car phone had a hands-free unit up on his visor. He spent the entire time talking, looking up at the roof of his car. I was never more terrified to ride with any human being in my entire life.
No, I don't have to look up. I just look straight
ahead. Yeah, no, I understand that you can do that. He didn't. So remember, we're nearing the edge of this, the end of this two-hour pledge segment of Soundbites, but you can still pledge. It's easy enough to do. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. And at any time during the week, and become a member of the Soundbites family and a part of the podcast challenge by pledging securely online at jazz901.org.
Like I said, I'd like to beat the poker guys 2 weeks in a row.
Wouldn't that be nice?
That would really be sweet if we could beat them. But, you know, we need you folks to take the time and effort. And it's a double-edged sword. One, we beat them. And by you pledging, we get closer to getting to this goal and then stop have to asking, you know.
That's exactly
taking
right.
Taking these breaks like we are, asking you for your support. We could strictly stay to all the news and other stuff that's happening in the computer community.
That's right. And don't forget, if you're pledging online, this also includes you, Carl, because you may not get home before the show ends. When you pledge online, in the comments section, say it's for Soundbites. And that will be what we need to hear.
That's what I should have done Thursday night. What was that last part? Because I had two people call in. You remember Carl Zarniak?
Yeah.
He called in and pledged on my show Thursday night. I should have used the Soundbites forms. This Thursday, if we're still into this, which I hope we're not.
Yeah, no kidding.
Any of my pledges, I will use the Soundbites thing.
Perfect. Why not?
Well, yeah, because Thursday I got a few folks that called in.
That's right. And they said they were for Soundbites, and that's how you count it. That's how you know. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, it's real easy to do. It only takes a couple of minutes of your time. We've got segments, pledge levels from $35 up to $1,000. But if you've got $5, $10, $20, $8, $2, here's a name from the past. Thanks, James. Thanks, Jim. We appreciate your membership and becoming a member of the Soundbites family. Jim joins Christopher and Valania and Steve and Dennis and Mike and Carl and Gary and Michael in becoming part of the Soundbites family, and we really want to thank you. It's an honor and a thrill. To know that you have become a member of the family. And you know what? It's easy enough to do. We say this a lot,
yeah.
But it's really pretty simple and pretty fast. It takes less than 2 minutes of your time, and it helps keep us on the air. We're going to talk next. We've got time to talk to Mike from Gates, New York. Welcome, Mike. What's your question?
Yeah, I got a laptop running Vista, and I cannot for the life of me get a printer loaded onto it that I can print from the union.
Is it?
That you can't print from the what?
That I can't print from a computer. It won't print.
Does it print from any program?
How old are the printers? That's the first question. How old are the printers?
Okay, I got a Brother HL-1440, that's the 2003 vintage, and then I have a Samsung color laser printer that's about 3 years old.
You have to go to their websites and find a driver specifically for Vista.
And there's no guarantee that they'll work.
Some of the older...
I did that. I deleted all my printers, and then I reloaded this Samsung one, and I downloaded the drivers for Vista, and it still won't work.
What error message do you get?
No surprise.
It's a problem with the printer. I don't remember what it was, but it keeps giving me that same thing that it's a couple
of things here, Mike. Without the actual error message, it becomes difficult for us to actually diagnose the problem without the exact error message. But
right. There's
a couple of things that it might be. First, how do these things connect to your computer?
I got them connected with a USB cord.
And that's the way they're normally set up to work?
Yes.
And do you hear the normal sort of bing-bing as it's detected by USB?
Yes. Now, here's the stupid thing. When I'm loading the printer, okay, it'll print a test page. Then when I go to like Microsoft Word and try to print something out, or say for my email, it says an error with the printer, cannot read the printer, or you don't have a printer or something.
Are there any other printer icons in your printer control panel?
No, I deleted everything that was in my printer control.
Because I see that now and then where you get another printer there that
isn't really the printer, and yeah. it won't print.
And you've set the printer, the let's say the Samsung printer, you've set that to be the default printer.
Yes, yes, I have.
Yeah, if a test print works, then it should work from any application.
But it does. It doesn't. I'm,
and the
I'm
test print
here.
Came from the computer.
I had a buddy of mine who works for Xerox and his computers. He came over and tried to get the thing to work, and it wouldn't work. He said he had to go back and talk to some of his engineer buddies.
And this is the test print from inside the Microsoft print setup.
All right, here's
right, when you're setting up the printer, it'll say, "Do you want to print a test page?" Yeah. Yes. So you hit the print test page, and it prints it. Then when you go to print a document or print your email or something from you know another program or you know doing something on the computer, it just doesn't print.
One other thing, and I have had some luck because Windows Vista is right up there with Windows. And Windows 8 is soon going to be Windows. But anyways, I've gone back to try and install Windows XP drivers. And they sometimes work a little bit better than the Vista one.
So I should try to go back to that printer, to the Samsung printer website, and download the XP drivers and see if it'll work on Vista?
Yeah, give it a shot. I've had really good luck with that.
Okay, I'll try that. If it don't work, I'll email you, and I'll definitely have the error message.
Yeah.
And I hope you guys can help me, because if you help me, I'll donate to the program.
All right.
No, that's not how it works, Mike. You donate to the program because you appreciate the fact that we're on the air every week, not because we helped you with one instance.
And
I do appreciate it. Trust me, I hate to say this, but I did donate before to the Polish guys. Because I'm Polish myself.
That's okay. As long as you're a member of the
Jazz
90.1 family. That's how it works.
It's family taking care of family.
That's right.
Thank you, sir. Have a good one. Good luck. Let us know.
Hey, that's crazy. That's the point of the test page, is saying, hey, Windows can print.
Yeah, no kidding. That's just really weird.
Yeah, but it's Vista. We got a couple minutes.
And on that alternating thing, Vista was crap. 7 is good. That means 8's going to be crap.
Oh, it is. It is. Dan and I this week downloaded Windows 8.
It is only a developer preview, but it's...
This is the biggest piece of junk. I mean, they are assuming everybody works with a tablet or has a smartphone, and they are going strictly tablet-oriented. If you're used to the toolbar down at the bottom and everything else, forget it.
It
is gone, folks.
It's a brand new interface.
It is a total paradigm shift, and people are really upset. They thought people were upset about Vista or Windows ME. Oh, the outcry on this one is going to be something. I'm just going to sit back and laugh and have some good time with it, because just like my Windows ME, I'm ready for some good rants on Windows 7.
Well,
or 8, really.
When Linux brought out Unity, when Ubuntu brought out Unity as their default interface, the same kind of thing happened. Only, of course, with Ubuntu, you can always say, "I'd rather load GNOME or KDE or XFCE or any one of those," and it's easy enough to do to change that. But you can't. You can't change the interface on Microsoft. Whatever they give you is what you get.
It is.
Archandra is right. Joe is right in the IRC chat. He said more like Arrow was something people didn't exactly like. That's true, because you had to have a higher video card to run Arrow, AERO, well on Windows, and there was a whole lot of. Oh, Soho, that's right. Before we go, we need to mention Soho. The Soho show is coming up next Thursday, the 5th of April, and we will be there all day long. So come on down and say hi to us. It's the Rochester Riverside Convention Center, and we'll be there from about 9 in the morning to about 4:30 in the afternoon, and we would love to have you come down and join us. And it's going to be more fun than you can shake a stick at, if that's your idea of a good time. And we're going to do it. I want to thank James, Christopher, Volania, Steve, Dennis, Mike, Carl, Gary, and Michael for their so generous support of this program and this station. We want to thank you for becoming members of the family. We'll be back next week with a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. We are Soundbites. George is next with some great music, so stay tuned. It's Jazz 90.1.
Here are the club calendar highlights for Saturday, March 31st.